What's up, guys? I'm Jordan. I'm with my old man, Howie, and welcome to episode 2 of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast. Hey, guys. Thanks for joining us again for our second show. We really enjoyed the first one, and hopefully we can keep the fun rolling from here. Today, we're going to do a little recap on yesterday's NFL slate, which, in my opinion, probably the most entertaining Sunday in the football season so far.
Yeah, I think six games came down to the final possession of the game or the second to last possession of the game. Last night's Sunday night football game was ridiculous, but we'll get to that later.
We could start with that. We'll go with the flow. We're free-forming here, so at the end of the day, you want to mention that first? Yeah, I mean, what a fantastic game.
Probably game of the year so far.
Being the old man that I am, I'm typically dozing off on Sunday night unless I got a real barn burner going in fantasy, but I stayed up to the end of last night's game. I don't know, Jordan. I mean, a lot of things to unpack there. DK Metcalf running down the guy on the Cardinals.
That reminded me of Julio Jones running down the Buccaneers defenseman like 2 or 3 years ago. Ridiculous speed for a guy who's, I think, 6'7", absolute monster. He didn't have that great of a night in fantasy. I think he only had 4.3 points in.
Yeah, that's what's weird. I don't know if that rundown running 95 yards or 100 yards down the field in it. When you watch it on replay and just seeing him pass all these guys, I mean, normally when you watch, you know, plays like that, you know, the guy will dive and make it look like he's trying at the last minute. But, man, I was watching that and I'm like, that guy is a serious athlete. And, you know, no surprise for me to say we're going to be hearing a lot of DK Metcalf for a long time to come.
Yeah. Fantasy owners couldn't really be happy about his touchdown being called back in overtime due to a holding by David Moore. But looking at the other receiver on Seattle, Tyler Lockett, 15 receptions, 200 yards, and 3 touchdowns on 20 targets. I looked up, in PPR, he had finished with 53 points in fantasy football, and the record is 59.5 set by Jamal Charles in 2013. So,
what an impressive game. It's interesting on that Seattle team. You know, 1 week it's DK, the other week it's Tyler Lockett. If Russell Wilson could somehow figure out how to give them equal fantasy points, I think a lot of people will be happy. Listen, give Kyler Murray credit for stepping up yesterday. I mean, he had a couple of down games the last couple weeks, but not last couple weeks, but sort of the first 3 games of the season, he lived up to the hype. Then he had 2 games where he wasn't so great.
Yeah, he was great last night. I think he had 3 passing. I think he finished with 400 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. Hopkins just continues to impress. In my opinion, I think he's the best receiver in the league next to Devontae Adams, who also performed great yesterday.
But we'll talk more about him later. But yeah, I mean, I think the Kyler Russell Wilson thing, very interesting. These guys are almost somewhat mirror images of each other.
Both have baseball backgrounds.
I don't know if the Cardinals wore them down, if Seattle didn't expect them to keep coming, but you know, when Jordan and I were doing our practice shows, which didn't get posted, we were talking about how the mark of a good rookie quarterback is winning games that you're not supposed to win. You know, Kyler started off the season with an impressive win against the 49ers. You know, and now he gets a win over Seattle. Very impressive guy here. I mean, very impressive. He's got a lot of weapons. Christian Kirk, you know, had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's been pretty consistent.
I was very happy about that. I made a trade. Maybe we'll talk about it at some point. You know, benefited one of my fantasy teams right down the wire before the game. But, you know, what a way to cap off, like I said, in my opinion, the most entertaining day of football so far this season.
Yeah, I just wanted to discuss the running back scenario between those two teams. Both Chris Carson and Kenyon Drake, both starters, go down with injuries. Chris Carson, I just read, is expected to be out not as much time as they expected, maybe 1 to 2 weeks. Kenyon Drake looks a little more significant. But if Chase Edmonds is available, he is a must pick up in any league, non-PBR, PBR. And Carlos Hyde also, he had 16 points last night, pretty solid game. I think he's a viable option too in all formats.
No, Jordan, I agree with you. Thanks for bringing up that point about the running backs. Like you said, I mean, I think I saw Chris Carson is week to week. I mean, day to day, hour to hour, week to week. I mean, when I see a mid-foot sprain, I've seen that happen too many times with guys. They end up missing 2 weeks and 3 weeks, and all of a sudden it's the dreaded Lisfranc sprain, which we might have to have a podiatrist on at some point to actually explain what that is. But it's an injury that takes a long time to heal. As Jordan pointed out, you know, Carlos Hyde did a fantastic job filling in last night. I actually almost picked him right up before the game. In one of my leagues, I was actually going to drop Cam Newton, who we'll talk about a little bit later too. And as Jordan said, Chase Edmonds, if he stays healthy, he's a league winner. He's a title winner. I mean, if you have free agent money available, you want to throw a lot there. I actually, in one of my leagues last week, 0.5 PPR, I had $130 left. He was dropped on Wednesday, so waivers cleared on Friday. I bid $41, and I was thrilled that I have him. And again, that was, you know, one of our good friends, we mentioned him on the first podcast, Sam, who we're going to have on one of these things. He was definitely recommending to pick him up, so I give him credit for pushing me in that direction.
Yeah, I just want to mention one thing. I think this is the first time in NFL history up to week seven where every team in the NFC West is above 500. And with this year being a 17 playoff, it is very possible for the whole division to make the playoffs because looking in the NFC, the Packers, the last place team in the NFC West is the 49ers, I think.
Right.
And the only teams with better records in the NFC are the Packers, who are probably going to win the division, the Buccaneers, who are probably going to win the division, and the Bears, who, as of now, are 5-1, look dominant, but I don't expect them to beat out the Rams or 49ers for that final wild card spot.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I've definitely been a Bears doubter, but we keep touching upon different things, and we're going to get to talk about a little bit more of the highlights. This show might run longer than the last one just because there's so much to unpack, but I'm going to go out a little order here. You know, we're looking at a slate of scores, and you're talking about game after game that finished within 3 points. You mentioned the Buccaneers, Jordan, and, you know, I've been saying since the beginning of the season, I'm not necessarily a Tom Brady fan. We talked about it last week. I'm a fan of history, and I just think what Tom Brady has been able to do so far down in Tampa Bay is so impressive. Big win last week, dominating win this week. You know, he's thrown a Gronk, he's thrown a Chris Godwin, he's thrown a Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller had a fantastic game yesterday. He's getting a rapport with all these guys because as the season goes on, the depth that they have on this team cannot be understated.
And don't forget, Antonio Brown, he's starting to practice with them this Wednesday. He won't be back this week, obviously, but next week he's going to be back. But you kind of look at it the fantasy perspective, you can't expect Evans, Godwin, Gronk, and Antonio Brown to all put up big numbers unless it's like a crapshoot.
Well, I think yesterday, I mean, Evans was like the odd man left out. I mean, you got to give these guys credit. Maybe Brady's got them pushing their egos down. It's a team mentality. They're on a mission. One of the interesting things I read, Byron Leftwich is an assistant coach on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Apparently, he was supposedly one of the guys in Pittsburgh that AB looked up to, and I guess they're thinking he can help get him into the mix smoothly. But I'll tell you this, the Tampa Bay organization is not going to tolerate any bumpiness down there. They've got a good thing going right now. They're winning games very quickly. You know, that maybe at the beginning of the season when Jordan and I went through their record, we weren't sure they could win.
Yeah, I think we had them like at 500 or maybe a game above 500 up until this point. But
yeah, I mean, I'm very impressed. Great. And when you look at the NFC right now, there's not a lot of stellar defenses in the NFC right now. I think the Bucs have the number one rated defense in most fantasy formats.
Except maybe the Colts in some fantasy formats. They've been pretty dominant this year.
Yes. So NFC. Yeah. But as of right now, I see this coming together. Brady's dropping dimes that I didn't think he was capable of dropping at this point in his career.
I think the pass before halftime to Scotty Miller in the end zone was one of the best passes I've seen this year.
It just fell right in there. It just fell right in there at the end of the day. I think they're primed to do good things. On the flip side, the Raiders, not so great of a game there.
They're a weird team to watch because 1 week you'll see them beat the Chiefs, drop 40 points, and then the next week you'll see them just...
They struggle a little bit. I mean, Josh Jacobs struggled a little bit yesterday. Darren Waller.
He had a solid day.
No, he's been pretty consistent, I have to say, especially when you look at the shallowness at the tight end position. But since we talked about Tampa Bay, and I promise you guys, if you continue listening to our show, and we hope we do, and we appreciate your time, you will hear a lot about Tampa Bay if they continue to play like this. Because like I said, I marvel at Tom Brady right now, and I think it's going to be fun to watch them. The flip side is, and not one of the better games yesterday, and we're going to just touch upon it briefly. It's a storyline you can't ignore. I saw a number of articles on it today. It's the old, look at what's going on for Tom in Tampa Bay. And on the flip side,
In New England, Cam Newton just
struggled. It's not just Cam Newton. I don't want to just say it's Cam Newton. Cam obviously struggled tremendously yesterday, but
yeah, in the Patriots game, they just failed to compete at all. Cam got pulled before the game even ended.
Yeah. We were debating whether or not he got benched or the 49ers had a dominating performance. Yeah. I mean, I think Jimmy Garoppolo had like 6 points in fantasy. Yeah.
It's just the 49ers, I don't know how many running backs they have on their roster, but whenever someone fills in, they always seem to be great. I don't know if it's the offensive line or their scheme, but
I think the offensive line has a lot to do with it. I mean, Jeff Wilson started off the game very good. Again, he was another guy who got injured. I think he hurt his ankle pretty badly. Yeah. And then they've got a guy, was it Jamichael
Hasty? Jamichael Hasty, but McKinnon was healthy. He didn't get any playing time, which was a little weird.
I
recommended him to fantasy owners last week, so I'm sorry if you listen, but
no death threats, please. I saw something where it said maybe the coaching staff wanted to give McKinnon a rest. I mean, this guy's had plenty of time to rest the last 2 years.
Yeah, because with torn ACLs and injuries. He's been out for like three seasons in a row, but dominant win for the 49ers and a powerhouse of an NFC West, so definitely a good win for them. And then,
yeah, the Patriots are a mess, though. And I mean, they're going to continue to suffer right now. I don't see much help on the way on that team. And that's not, I think I saw in the Bill Belichick era, this may be the first time they lost 3 games in a row since before Brady was on the team. Yeah, I think
this is the worst loss at home for the Patriots since, I think it was 2011 or 8, I don't remember, but it's been a while.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to turn to one of the other more entertaining games on the slate yesterday, which provided a little bit of personal joy for us. That's the Lions-Falcons game, which...
Oh, what a game.
Oh, my God. The Falcons, honestly, I might send sympathy cards to the players on that team.
They always... It doesn't matter how they do it. They just always find a way to lose. And I think besides the botched onside kick against the Cowboys that they didn't recover, this may have been the worst loss because...
Jordan's favorite fantasy player.
Yeah, no. As much, I'm going to get to it, but you're down by two with less than a minute left. Todd Gurley, you're at the 6-yard line. Todd Gurley gets an open lane, and I have Todd Gurley on my fantasy team. I'm like, score. But for Atlanta fans, you're like, no. And Todd Gurley, who 2 seasons ago on the Rams, who maybe sat at the goal line twice for his team, one of the most unselfish players in the league, just had too much forward momentum and fell in, and they still got the 2-point conversion. Lions come back, timeouts.
No, absolutely. And we had a great time watching that game. We watched games on Sunday with my brother-in-law, Jordan's uncle, Richie, and my nephew and his cousin, Jesse. And we go to a local place where there's not a lot of people there. It's socially distanced.
Called the place.
And doors are open. And we're sitting there watching the end of that game. And obviously you had the Todd Gurley thing. And we're sitting there talking about like, how an athlete who plays at such a high level and is in such great shape, how does he think to himself in that period of time, sit down, don't score. It's your natural, it's your natural inclination to just get in the end zone. I mean, nobody was around him at that point. And I think I saw some still shots today on Twitter of Lions players putting up their hands, indicating it's a touchdown, because they're like, now we got some time to go back out there and win the game. At end of the day, I give Lions credit for not quitting at all right to the very end. I actually made a trade right before this game. I mentioned Christian Kirk. TJ Hockenson was involved in the trade. He had a decent game yesterday at the end. And that was with Jesse, by the way. He had a decent game. And we're sitting there watching the end of this game with 4 seconds left. And I'm caught up in the moment. So I tell all these guys, if TJ Hockenson scores a touchdown, I'm buying the food. And what do you know? The next thing, TJ Hockenson scores a touchdown in the end zone. And listen, we were jumping down and hugging each other, but we were certainly celebrating. Jesse, who may join us actually later in the week, was ordering disco fries and none of us could keep our hands off of them. And by the way, I have to touch upon disco fries for a second, because if you haven't had them, you have to try them. Try them on your cheat day, because this is a big cheat. Disco fries are fries with cheese, melted cheese, and gravy. I promise you, it sounds like a wacky combination. I used to eat them a lot when I was in college, but do yourself a favor. Either go to the place or your local pub, okay, or make them at home, because they are fantastic. So that was fun for us at the end of the game.
I just want to touch upon a quick thing in the Lions game. Kenny Galladay, if you don't have him and you need a receiver, I would target him, because all of his catches yesterday, if you go back and watch, 6 of 6 contested catches, and he basically was a big part of winning the game, because Stafford throws up like a 40-yard bomb, and if it's not for him catching it, the Lions wouldn't have even...
No, I totally agree with you, Jordan, and I was talking with Sam, you know, a couple weeks ago about those, you know, trade targets, and you're putting guys in tiers, and I said to him, you know, who's in tier one, who do you put in tier two? You know, he said Kenny Galladay was right at the top of that tier two, but with games like yesterday, it will only be a matter of time before he moves up to the low end of tier one. I think, as Jordan said, you know, Devontae Adams, who we'll talk about and DeAndre Hopkins. These guys are in a little bit of a class by themselves right now. But, you know, being that we're making fantasy recommendations, and, you know, we don't have a set order here. We freeform. We talk about stuff that, you know, we enjoy. We got our dog Jack sitting here with us right now. I wanted to talk about my fantasy lock from here to the rest of the season. Okay, barring injury, because you always have to say that. Or Barry, as my daughter likes to say. Justin Herbert.
Oh my
if
God.
You don't have him and you can get him, go out and get him. I know after a game like yesterday and his game before the bye, it's going to be tough to do. I know Jordan has him on one of his teams. I have him on one of my teams. Today I happen to be, you know, looking around during some downtime at work, and I looked at Justin Herbert's schedule for the rest of the season. Oh my God. Talk about the easiest schedule.
Knock on wood for Justin Herbert.
Through the fantasy playoffs. First of all, the Chargers play the AFC East as out of division. So right there, you're talking about Miami, the New York Jets, and New England. Their division, the Chargers division, isn't the strongest division as it is. You know, they play the Raiders twice still. I think the Buffalo Bills might be the toughest team. They play the Denver Broncos twice.
Don't sleep on the Chiefs defense, too, having themselves a game.
No, again. I understand, but I don't know if
they're in the AFC West.
Okay, so they're going to play the Chiefs, but I got to tell you, I'm so impressed by Herbert. You know, between him and Burrow, you got two nice-looking rookie quarterbacks. They look like they're mature beyond their age. And again, just like we talk about Kyler Murray, you want to see guys going out there and either winning games they're not supposed to win or keeping their team in contention when it comes to different games. Again, I would say anybody on the Chargers offense, Keenan Allen is a guy you want to grab. Mike Williams is a little bit up and down. They seem to be plug and play with their running backs.
All their running backs are consistent, though. They run a certain type of game plan where they just do dump offs. I think Justin Jackson, first four plays of the game, he's three catches.
No, absolutely. In fact, since Matt Breida is rotting away on the bench down in Miami, if I was the Chargers, I'd try to get him back. You know, because he played for San Francisco. But to me, Matt Breida seems like a guy who would fit into that scheme pretty well.
Don't forget Eckler's coming back too in a couple of weeks. So
yeah, but on the flip side, we're going to talk briefly about the Jaguars.
Yeah, I just want to mention real quick about the Chargers. I'll never forget draft night. I call my dad right when Herbert's drafted. I'm like, I love this guy. I need his jersey, and he's been one. I think my dad can say too. He's been one of our favorite players so far this year.
No, he's fun to watch, and I think he's going to continue to be fun to watch. Not only this year, but for years
and
to come.
Speaking of another trade target, every single year this guy consistently, most games, gets at least 100 yards. Keenan Allen.
No, Keenan Allen. Been great is as
every
consistent.
Single year.
I
no,
agree with
no matter the quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, Phillip Rivers, Justin Herbert, consistently one of the best wide receivers in the league.
I agree with Jordan. He's one of those guys, if the ball is near him, he doesn't miss. And I think he's a little bit under the radar. Yeah. Reminds me of Andre Johnson in the first couple of years of his career down in Houston. I started to say on the flip side, the Jacksonville Jaguars, there's only one thing to player to talk about. We're going to talk about him quickly. James. Undrafted free agent James Robinson. The guy has been a workhorse this year. I think one of the more unfortunate stories in the NFL this year is, I think, Raquel Armstead,
who's been hospitalized
with COVID, basically the whole season.
He got it twice, and he's out for the season.
No, he's out, and then Chris Thompson, who's the backup there, I think is now on the COVID IR as well. So yeah, I think I read a stat that James Robinson handled like almost every snap yesterday.
He's number two. I don't know who's number one, but right now, he's number two in PPR leagues for scoring.
Kamara. I would imagine
Kamara's been slowing down, but I would assume it's Kamara too due to his like first two or three games.
It's like I was watching Robinson yesterday just because I have him on a couple teams. I mean, I'm getting tired watching him. How a guy can just go out there and they give him the ball over and over and over and they give him passes and stuff like that reminds me very much of Maurice Jones-Drew, who was also a Jaguars running back several years ago. He's like low to the ground, thick legs, almost like a bowling ball. He can't take him down, but great job. There's not a lot of other stuff to talk about on the Jaguars offense. At least they were somewhat competitive yesterday, but there was some talk going into the game that Gardner Minshew, Minshew mania, may be no more shortly because they were going to put their backup quarterback in.
I just want to speak Robinson. I'm pretty solid on the waiver wire when it comes to, or even free agents, when it comes to players out of nowhere. I didn't get James Robinson in any leagues, and I actually traded for him today because Miles Sanders is out for me, Raheem Mostert, Chris Carson, all out for me. And I gave up Julio in a couple, and Robbie Anderson in a trade for Galladay, Robinson, and Hayden Hurst. So I may have gotten a little less than I should have, but I couldn't refuse getting Robinson.
I don't think you can argue with that trade as long as you can get through Robinson's bye week. He'll be refreshed after that at the end of the day. What was I going to say? Nah, you see what happens. This is a time of the year in fantasy. You sort of got to honestly size up where you're at. And if you still have a chance and you're in it, again, you might have to make a trade to try to put your team in a better position going forward. Next game we're going to talk about, again, we're trying to mix it up. It's not one of the highlight. Actually, Jordan is scrolling down. It is one of the highlight games. And it's a game. It's the Browns and the Bengals.
Another game that came down to the wire.
Came down to the wire, but it's important to point out that last week we were talking about the Browns loss to Pittsburgh and how that team with all those personalities is literally imploding. They're 4-1 going into that game and they're imploding, and then they come right back and they've got so much talent on that team that they win the game. So now you're talking about this team, everybody cooked because they remember Cleveland stinks and Cleveland has lost for so long, and now, you know, Cleveland's 5-2. Again, bad injury from a fantasy perspective. We touched upon Odell last week and his up-and-down personality. Torn ACL, he's going to be out for the season. You know, when I saw this, I start to think about supremely talented athletes who just, their career never lives up to what it possibly could be. And I fear that we're seeing that with Odell between the emotional unevenness, you know, getting traded from the Giants, which probably was an ideal situation for a personality like his. And now this injury, and I think he had a hamstring injury when he first started his career. You know something? It's one of those things you hate to look. I remember the line from the movie The Bronx Tale. There's nothing worse than wasted talent.
Yeah.
Some other guys give Baker Mayfield credit.
Yeah, he started the game 0-for-5, no yards, and then finishes the game, I think, 22 of 23 and 5 touchdowns to almost no names. I think an interesting guy to pick up, assuming Austin Hooper's out next week. I don't know if the Browns are on bye, but assuming Austin Hooper stays out, is the rookie tight end on the Browns who had 2 touchdowns.
Do you know his name offhand? I don't remember.
I don't remember his name, but I remember. Harrison something. But he had 2 touchdowns the day. Solid. Rashad Higgins.
Rashad Higgins. If you had Odell, and again, you're in a position, Rashad Higgins is probably somebody you want to give a look at.
Yeah, and Jarvis Landry. If you have him, would start him.
Yeah, maybe Jarvis Landry will kick things up again. He's been sort of disappointing this year. I even thought David Njoku had a touchdown maybe yesterday.
Peoples Jones had one for the game winning one. So went to Michigan, I think.
On the flip side, go blue. On the flip side, the Cincinnati Bengals, again, we talk about quarterbacks, Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, the number one pick in the draft. He's obviously one of those guys. He's shown signs of greatness in the limited, you know, in a limited sample in the games this season. He's got some talented wide receivers there. And I think, again, as long as he stays healthy, Cincinnati will be competitive for years to come. He just brings an element to that team that they haven't had for the last couple of years. And, you know, speaking of Cincinnati and their quarterback the last couple of years, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, who are just an absolute mess this season. It's uncanny how certain teams, like the way we talk about Odell, you talk about that organization, it's like you have an owner that you could tell wants to win so badly. He's willing to spend the money. All that talent on offense.
Just look at their Amari offense,
Cooper,
yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup.
Zeke.
I mean, Pollard. It just... You know, we were talking about this yesterday. They hire Mike McCarthy, and you're like, Mike McCarthy, big name, won a Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers. And I think it's not like, you know, these owners are just like these incredibly analytical geniuses. They see at some level what we see. And you see Mike McCarthy's tenure in Green Bay. It was mentioned they interviewed two coaches for that position.
Yeah, I read only two coaches were interviewed for the Cowboys. Marvin Lewis, who was atrocious on the Bengals.
Yeah.
And Mike McCarthy. And looking at it from a fantasy perspective, I don't think you can trust a single guy on that offense except maybe Zeke. But Zeke's been – I don't think you can bench Zeke at this point or Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper still had a pretty good game, but Gallup – I don't even think he's rosterable at this point. CeeDee Lamb, I think he had 1 yard yesterday.
I know you have to know when to cut guys who aren't performing. If you're a Cowboys fan at this point, if I'm them, they're on the phones. You know, we talked about maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Jameis Winston.
I would hope the Jets aren't ready to give up on Sam Darnold at this point. I mean, they're a mess, but the Cowboys right now, I mean, 3 points. And the other thing is we sort of the segue was Cincinnati quarterbacks. Andy Dalton, who apparently it just seems like this team was not behind him from the minute Dak got injured. He took, you know, short of like breaking a bone, like when Dak broke his bone, some of these other injuries where you break a bone, the hit that Andy Dalton took to me.
Yeah, and the guy
who thought he was dead.
And the guy who gave the hit wasn't even suspended.
I thought he should have been suspended for the rest of the season.
He got thrown out of the game, but...
I mean, come on. Yeah. If you don't want guys to do that, okay, how do you not suspend that guy and send a message? To me, it looked like he came up and under with the helmet, but listen.
And no one even stood up for Dalton when he got hurt. Not a single person got in the Redskins player's face.
No, and by the way, McCarthy pointed that out in the press conference after the game. Again, last week, you've got players saying the coaching staff isn't prepared. Now you've got the head coach saying, you know, the players aren't standing up for their teammate. Not a good sign. If the Cowboys don't turn things around quick, you might see McCarthy out of there very quickly.
Yep. Talking about another game that was, I think, looking into this week, second place for game of the week was the Steelers and Titans. It looked like Steelers had it all locked up. I think they were up by double digits in the fourth quarter, and then Titans still like to fight back, as we saw last week against the Texans.
No, absolutely.
They ended up beating, but...
I think that game sort of went the way we expected. We talked about it last week on our show.
You know? We expected it to be close, and we also thought it was going to go into overtime, but Steven Gostkowski missed a field goal with, I think, 7 seconds left.
We couldn't even remember who the kicker was at that point in the game, but the funny thing is talking about the competitive games yesterday, the fact that we took this long to get to the Steelers and Titans, and when we were sitting and watching the games, I kept saying to myself... You got the Steelers and Titans on over there, but I'm not even paying attention because you got so many other close games going on.
I think this was probably the best week of football games. But getting back to the Steelers...
Go ahead, Jordan.
Oh, no, I just think every player on the Steelers offense, from running back James Conner to the wide receivers, Juju, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and even Eric Ebron, who had a solid day, all startable in all formats.
No, absolutely. Like Jordan said, Deontay Johnson had a good game yesterday.
And Juju. And Juju. Nine receptions, I think.
Juju might be a guy to target as well, especially if Deontay Johnson is injured. I mean, but I did want to say, in terms of that game and the way the Steelers play, okay, if you focus on a game from time to time, if you're not a big fan, you're not watching them all the time, put on one of the Steelers games at the end of the day and watch how hard these guys hit. There was a couple of plays yesterday. You know, you got Derrick Henry in that backfield, 200-plus yards last week. I think he maybe had like under 30 yards rushing up until halftime yesterday.
TJ Watt leads that front.
But there was a couple of plays where TJ Watt came up the middle one-on-one, and it was like, you know, he's not going to hurt Derrick Henry, but man, it's like if you play the Steelers, and I actually think the Titans are the same way with Vrabel having that mentality as a player. You know, remember the Titans, you're going to remember playing the Steelers because these guys will put a body on you. And, you know, at this point in the season, we're starting to say which teams are going to, you know, are heads and shoulders above everybody else. I do think the Titans are going to make a decent run in the playoffs. But to me, the Steelers, the Chiefs, and the Buccaneers right now, they're the class of the league.
I think the Hawks and Packers, too, you can also mention.
I'm not going to put them in that class. I'm not going to put them in the class because of their defense. At the end of the day, the Steelers, the Titans, their defense, their offenses are well-rounded, and obviously the Chiefs, you know, you talk about as well. But, you know, again, that was a good game that came right down to the end. It looked like the Steelers might run away from it.
Don't forget, another game of the week next week, Steelers play the Ravens.
No, absolutely.
For first in the AFC North, I believe.
Nope, that should be an interesting one as well.
For all the fantasy owners as a trade target, if you can buy them low, get them while you can. A.J. Brown, Mans is an absolute monster.
He does look like he's continuing. He's consistent. And again, Jordan and I last week talked about consistency, finding guys who are going to go out there that aren't too high, that aren't too low, and you want to try to get them on your team. You know, there's a couple more games we want to hit up on before we finish up this week. We'll touch briefly on the Bills and the Jets. You know, again, Josh Allen has come back down from the stratosphere a little bit yesterday. I think, especially in the second half, every time we turned around, the Bills had the ball. I think our dog's flipping out here a little bit. You don't take his bone anywhere away from him when he gets tired at night. But we'll point out again because, you know, Jesse and Rich had this kicker on their team. They picked up
Ty Bass. Who attempted 8 field goal attempts in the
eight
game.
8 field goals. I think he missed 2 of them.
Yeah.
But he still scored. They still scored more.
I think 23 or 24 points.
Yeah. Than a lot of the other fantasy players out there. Again, the Jets, dare I say, I mean, they were winning 10-0 for a period of time. Maybe you started to think that, you know, that this could be their one win and they're not going to go 0-16. But like I said, 8 field goal attempts. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what team you are. If you're getting in a position to score that many times, and I think 6 of them might have been in the second half. I mean,
yeah.
You know, like you said, I mean, it's a sad story there for the New York Jets. And what else can you say about that?
2 guys that I recommend picking up from both these teams. 1, LaMichael Pirine. I think he's going to take the starting job for New York.
Temper your expectations on the upside.
Yeah, I know they're not good, but he had a solid day. And Cole Beasley, probably the most underrated receiver in the NFL.
I would agree.
I think he's ranked top 20 this year, and he's a PPR mon. I think he had 10 receptions.
Yeah, and he's tough. He's tough because that guy takes some big hits.
Like a Wes Welker type of guy.
He gets right back up. Just to hit upon, we were talking about the Cowboys before, and the hit that Andy Dalton took, the futility of their defense. Just touch upon real quick, they were beaten 25-3 by Washington. You know, Terry McLaurin on Washington,
Monster.
And I know one of Jordan's
Antonio
favorites.
Gibson, yeah.
He's another one, Antonio Gibson. I mean, you know, Adrian Peterson gets traded right before the season started. They had the other guy who I think might have had sexual assault charges.
Oh, no, it was
Darius Geis.
Who was injured and got released due to sexual assault charges.
He had some type of problems off the field, but Antonio Gibson's another one of those guys. He just keeps going out there and racking up points. You know, and if Kyle Allen gets a little bit more comfortable, I mean, that team, those guys certainly will keep producing.
Yeah, definitely don't sleep on the Redskins in the NFC East, especially with, they're tied for Or I think they're a half a game out because the Eagles tied, but their defense is not to be slept on.
No, Chase Young, I mean. But just to point out a nice thing about the Redskins, and I actually saw some videos on this today. Yeah. I think Ron Rivera, their coach, actually finished for the time being his chemo/radiation treatments for cancer. And, you know, we're all humans here and we all love, you know, looking out for everybody else's health and well-being when the time comes, especially in this crazy world we live on. And I saw a nice video of all of the people at the hospital where Ron Rivera was getting his treatments lined up in the hallway wearing shirts, saluting him and clapping for him as he went down the hallway. I think we only have, there's actually two games we're going to touch upon real quick, and then we're going to finish up.
Panthers, Saints, Drew Brees is without, Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders still pulls out a victory.
Yeah, there was actually a wide receiver on that team. Maybe Johnson was his last name.
I don't remember, but he had himself a day. Not a huge day, but a solid day.
Solid day. I think he might have got hurt towards the end of the game, actually.
And then looking at the Panthers side, Teddy Bridgewater had a decent day.
He had a decent day.
Mike Davis has clearly come back to earth, and Christian McCaffrey's he's 50-50 right now to play on a Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, I know Sam thinks it's a long shot. There's no way that the coach is going to roll that out there. Matt Rhule, I think
Matt
is his
Rhule,
name.
Yeah, but
you never know. And then DJ Moore had a very good game. I mean, he's been a little bit quiet. Robbie Anderson's been getting more of the attention.
I think Robbie Anderson had an okay day. Still consistent, though. So there still gets his fair share of targets.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And listen, people have to give Mike Davis his due. And I'm sure he's still going to get some carries in some series when Christian McCaffrey comes back. And the last game we'll touch upon, Packers-Texans.
I think
I think last week, last week we were talking about the Packers lost to the Buccaneers. And I think in Aaron Rodgers' career, he has a very good record when coming off big losses. You know, 35-20. Again, Houston was in comeback mode for most of the second half. I don't want to say that score wasn't indicative of the competitive level of the game.
Well, yeah, I think the Texans got an onside kick and like a late touchdown at the end.
Yeah, they were very lucky there. And I have Deshaun Watson on one of my teams, so I was happy about that. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. The guy just keeps going out there and doing whatever he needs to do to make things happen. And Aaron Jones was a last-minute scratch on that team, which I'm sure did not make a lot of fantasy owners happy. But if you follow the rule of handcuffing your studs and you had Jamal Williams on your team, similar to Giovanni Bernard, who we didn't mention earlier, who was playing for Joe Mixon, hopefully that pays off for you at the end of the day.
Yeah, Williams is probably the number one backup, I think, to any running back, except maybe Mike Davis.
Well Chase Edmonds. Edmonds. But, you know, there's some situations, but again, you got to try to handcuff your studs as best you can. You know, these guys are human. They get injured. And like we said, how many running backs got injured yesterday? You can't mention the Packers without, again, mentioning Davante Adams.
Yeah, not a single pass catcher is trusted on that team but Davante Adams because he gets all the targets.
Absolutely. I was thinking of starting Scantling on my fantasy team.
He's horrible.
He's absolutely horrible.
It's not even like he's not getting targets. He gets thrown to. He just drops it.
He had four targets yesterday. He missed all of them. But going in, I saw one of those stats. I think Matthew Berry's website put it out about wide receivers versus defensive guy matchups. Apparently the corner who was supposed to cover Scantling is one of the worst graded corners. If he was not going to make it happen yesterday, it's not
happening. He's droppable, and he should not be rostered.
If Alan Lazard does come back, he might be somebody to look at. But short of that, you're just going to see Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams over and over and over. Jordan and I are sitting here. We're watching the warm-up for the Rams-Bears game. We'll touch upon that during our next show later this week.
Yeah,
we'll probably have a special guest actually on that show.
I don't expect this game to be high-scoring at all. I think it's going to be battle of the defenses.
I totally agree.
I think Allen Robinson will continue to have his fair share of targets and dominated PPR formats.
Well, it's going to –
He'll be matched up against Jalen Ramsey, I think, which would be a fun matchup to
watch. Tonight's going to be a tough game, but I can't believe I'm saying this. I would pick the Bears to win tonight's
game.
Just
defensively, they're better.
Yeah, I would say maybe by a 3-point margin. I can't think it's going to be any more than that at the end of the day. So my money is on the Bears with their ball control, ground and pound. Like Jordan said, from a receiver standpoint, Allen Robinson is, no disrespect to Robert Woods, but he's probably the most talented receiver out
Cooper
there.
Cooper Kupp, too, who's a PPR monster. He had a rough day. I think he had 9 targets last week and only 3 catches. So I expect him to catch a lot. Maybe not for a lot of yards, but I expect him to have a bounce-back day. Tyler Higbee's also out, late scratch.
Pick up Gerald Everett if you have room on your bench and you need those points. I mean, that's the worst thing when you tune into a game last minute and find out one of the big-name guys are out.
Yeah.
But
this is a big game for both teams. I mean, the Bears are trying to stay tied for first with the Packers in their division. And then the Rams, they're in the best division in football. And I think they're 4-2, and they're in third place, which is crazy.
Yep. But like I said, I mean, I do expect the Bears to pull this one out. And I hope that this just continues the trend of great games we saw yesterday. And I got to tell you, I give these guys credit. These are physical games. Don't forget, people, no exhibition games before the season. When you go out and you see some of these teams play well, and like I said, people are going to start making fun of me for talking about Tom Brady again. But again, for the Buccaneers to be playing as well as they are at this point, with limited work in the offseason, maybe those workouts in the local park in Tampa really paid off. Because they're playing well. I think we're going to wrap up the show there, guys. We really enjoy this. Like I said, we're free-forming. It probably shows a little bit of how much time we spend talking about football during the week and reading about football, and we certainly watch all the games. But at the end of the day, we're really enjoying this. We're looking to grow our audience. And we just want to have fun and entertain you guys.
Yep. So thank you guys again for listening to the second episode of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast. We will most likely have a guest on next episode, which will probably be Wednesday or Thursday, discussing the end of the Monday night football game and looking ahead to week 8.
Absolutely. Thanks again for joining us, everybody.
Please follow and listen to, tell your friends. Yeah. We're going to be not just on Anchor now. We'll also be on Spotify, and we'll probably be on Apple Podcasts either later this week or by next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Enjoy the Monday night game. And
good luck in all your fantasy leagues.
Yep. Good luck. Right.
Have a good one, guys.